To Michael Flam. Michael, one of the, you talked about some of the similarities with New York City in 1964, but there are some striking differences. Chicago in 2020, for example, is different than New York City in 64 in the following ways. New York City was supermajority white. The mayor, police chief, and police force were almost completely dominated by whites in both government, and it was a bipartisan Republican-Democratic leadership at the governor and mayoral levels. Today, Chicago has an African-American mayor, a police chief, and an integrated police force, and the city has widespread government social programs. I'm wondering what we also have a city that's now pretty evenly split between non-Hispanic whites, African-Americans, and Hispanics. Why do you think that the change in leadership, process, government subsidies didn't make a difference to prevent the similar sorts of anger to police brutality?
Well, Larry, as I mentioned before, you have the ongoing issue of rising expectations. Rising expectations and relative poverty. You can make progress, but if people still see themselves falling behind, that progress is going to simply be washed away. I also think that, in recent years, we've had a great deal of inequality, increase in inequality, and we certainly see it in core cities. We see it across the country. I think that's a factor. You have rising expectations. You have relative inequality, which has been exacerbated in recent years. You have the rise of social media as another factor. And then I think a tremendous accelerant, although we don't know exactly how it's played out, has simply been the pandemic and the stay-at-home orders and, the sense of crisis and anxiety. In many cases, these disturbances coincided with the return of good weather, an opportunity to get outside. So there's a lot of factors, I think, coming together that created what I've described as the perfect storm, that erupted a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. What the demands of the African Americans protesters in that 1964 riot was a civilian board to review the police actions. They demanded an integrated police force, and they demanded more interaction between the African American community directly with the police. Did they get their demands, and why did that turn out to be insufficient?
Larry, you've raised a really interesting point. So the protesters in 1964, first of all, they wanted the white officer who was responsible for shooting the black teenager. They wanted him fired and charged. They didn't get what they want in the sense that ultimately it was deemed a good shooting and the officer was not removed from the NYPD. But they did, a couple of years later, get a civilian review board. That really hasn't changed or helped all that much, at least not in the eyes of most activists. So the civilian review board didn't. The NYPD is a much more diverse institution than it was in 1964. But again, maybe it hasn't gone far enough, and I think there's room for criticism there. Certainly some of the training and other practices of the NYPD still remain a target of criticism by the activists. What's interesting about your question, Larry, and this goes back to what others have said, in this particular case in Minneapolis already had a civilian review board. Minneapolis immediately moved to fire the officer in question. He now faces criminal charges. And I think, in a sense, it's the triumph of activists in the 60s that is why the demands today have gone far beyond what we saw in the 60s. I mean, there's a demand now for a structural change in policing, whether the police are defunded or dismantled or whatever.
Okay.